everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Tom, I'll tell you, what a week. From near record lows to 95 or 96, which will be very close to a record next week.
Yeah. One record after another. They're falling like dominoes.
It's just like those atmospheric rivers we used to say when I worked in the Bay Area TV. They're lined up all the way to Japan. So anyway, here we go. It's Buckmaster. Welcome to our program on this Good Friday. It is April 7th, 2023. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We're in our 13th year with the radio project, our 35th year on TV and radio in Tucson, worldwide live listening and podcasts on my website, buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday is Media Shoutout Day. Thank you, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, and your team there. The team at the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. And the guy that heads up that organization is with me in studio, Dan Scheer. Dan, thanks for everything you do for this program.
Thank you. Love what you do.
Well, thank you very much. And you're also very involved with more now than 30 newspapers in 13 states. You're the editorial director for the WIC, Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications Group. Also, a media shout-out, Tucson Local Media Group. Their portfolio includes Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. The Friday Focus interview today with Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tom Horn. Mr. Horn served as the 25th Attorney General of Arizona from 2011 to 2015. He previously served 2 4-year terms as Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction and elected to another term as the state's top schools official in November of last year. In Superintendent Horn's first 3 months on the job, there have been major changes from his predecessor, Democrat Kathy Hoffman. Gone is the Arizona Department of Education's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Department. There is now a hotline to report teachers for bringing critical race theory into the classroom. Presentations on trauma and social emotional learning scheduled for a statewide educator conference were unexpectedly canceled. And coming up in mid-April, Mr. Horn and his team will go before the Arizona State Board of Education to change the school letter grades to account for critical race theory. Tom Horn, Superintendent Horn, how are you, sir?
Hey, Bill, it's great to be with you, and I think I've been on the radio with you for 20 of your 35 years.
Well, here's the way that goes. With the TV show, the 22 years on Arizona Illustrated, you came on the program many times for our Friday roundtable, as did Dan Scheer. Dan was with me on the TV show on many Fridays. And then when I transitioned to radio 13 years ago, you've been on many times as well. So we know you, Tom. You've been around. How is this new incarnation as school superintendent going your first quarter?
Well, you know, Bill, my friends told me I was going backwards. They said, you've been attorney general, now you're running for superintendent of schools again. But my response is the big problems in the schools, and that's what I want to work on. Under my predecessor, the focus was on everything but academics, social emotional learning, critical race theory, sexual stuff, and so on. I want to get the focus back on academics and promulgate the idea that every instructional minute is precious so we can get our test scores back up. Right now, two-thirds of our students are not proficient in math, and 60% are not proficient in reading. It's a real crisis, and I've come back to try to solve this, get our academics up, get the kids to learn more, and have that show in their test scores.
Well, let me follow up on what I was setting up in the beginning. I mentioned that I think the formal presentation, it will be in mid-April. Your administration planning to kind of change the way schools are graded. How will that work, Tom Horn?
Well, part of the grades are the rate of proficiency, and part of the rates of the grades are growth, which I introduced back when I was superintendent as a value added. Now they call it growth, but there's a third part that contemplates other measures, and one of the measures that I'm asking the board to consider including is whether the school is really concentrating on academics, or whether they're allowing all these distractions, critical race theory, social-emotional learning, inappropriate sexual instruction, and whether or not their administrators are supporting their teachers in imposing discipline, because you can't have learning without discipline in the classroom. And so this is part of my overall plan to increase academics in the schools. I've got a total focus on that. I've told all 600 people in the Department of Education, this is what we're all about, and I've told people to stop doing whatever they're doing that does not relate to increasing academic performance and just focus on increasing the academic performance in our schools.
All right, let's bring Dan Scheer into our conversation. Go ahead, Dan.
Superintendent Horn, how do you stay connected to what's happening in the classroom, you personally?
Well, I get approached by a lot of teachers. In fact, my heroes our teachers, you know, math teachers who love math, history teachers who love history, and so on. And they want to teach their subjects bell to bell because they love their subjects. And they tell me that under the previous administration ideology of social-emotional learning, they couldn't do that because the administrators would make them do what they described to me as dumb games with the kids on what should be learning time. And so I have a lot of connection with teachers. I get a lot of input from them, and I'm doing my best to support them. First of all, in teaching their academics bell to bell, and secondly, in urging administrators to support them in discipline.
Have you visited classrooms since you were elected?
Yeah, I was just in Tucson at the Robbins School to recognize their very high achievement in what's called OMA, Opening Minds Through the Arts. I'm a pretty serious classical pianist myself. I've soloed with local orchestras like the Scottsdale Philharmonic and the Yuma Orchestra, and the arts are very important to me. And we have studies showing that kids who've been in that OMA program do better academically than students who haven't, and the effect is particularly pronounced with Hispanic students. So I've been like a religious person going out to convert people, urging other school districts to adopt the OMA program that has been so successful in the Tucson Unified School District.
Tucson Unified School District, you have quite a past with TUSD, and I noticed your op-ed in the Arizona Daily Star, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. The headline there was, "I support academic rigor, not classroom mediocrity." How are you getting on with Superintendent Trujillo over there, and how is it going with that relationship, Tom Horn?
Well, we haven't spoken, but I have a mixed relationship. When last time I was superintendent, I recognized many Tucson Unified District schools for excellence, and as I mentioned, I've been pushing the OMA program on other districts, which I think is a tremendously successful innovation of the Tucson Unified Schools. On the negative side, I was fighting ethnic studies. I believe that we're all individuals, that what matters about us is what we know, what we can do, what is our character, and what is our ability to appreciate beauty, and not what race we haven't been born into. And ethnic studies, and particularly explicit curriculum within ethnic studies called critical race theory, puts race primary and teaches kids that their race is the most important thing about them. And I think that's absolutely wrong, and I continue to fight against that.
Bill mentioned the Empower Hotline earlier, and that is the state hotline that encourages reports of school lessons that detract from teaching academic standards. What kind of calls are you getting, and how are you handling those?
Well, we're getting hundreds of crank calls. our adversaries urge people to give us crank calls because in Virginia, they got so many crank calls, they disconnected the line. But that's not going to work with me. As you know, when I'm not in public service, I'm a trialer and I don't intimidate easily. We're just going to ignore the crank calls and focus on the legitimate calls. We had one example, somebody called in to say that a teacher was doing religious promoting in the classroom. We called the principal. He said he was aware of it and he solved the problem and that took care of it. We had another call from a Chandler parent that they had invited a professor of critical race theory from Los Angeles to come train their teachers. We looked into that. Meanwhile, a lot of parents protested and they dropped it. So we are getting legitimate calls that we're following through, and we're ignoring the crank calls.
Well, the unspoken about that hotline is that there's this belief in your administration that teachers are involved in a lot of indoctrination. Do you believe that?
I do. Well, certainly not all teachers. It's not universal, but there has been indoctrination. My view is that teachers are paid a salary by the taxpayers to teach academics and not to use a captive audience to push their own ideological viewpoint. That's an abuse of their position. I believe it's unprofessional conduct and it's deserving of discipline. In Tucson, we've got what they call brave conversations where they stereotype people. They talk about the differences between people of color and what they call whiteness. I've seen lessons in Tucson where they draw a line down the middle, and on one side they have qualities of people of color, on the other side, whiteness, including all negative things like white people interrupt too much and so on. So I'm fighting against that. You know, I was on the march on Washington in 1963, where Martin Luther King gave his famous speech, and I've always believed in his philosophy that we're all individuals and that race is not relevant. And that's what I'm fighting for, against people who want to indoctrinate kids into thinking that their race or their ethnicity is the most important thing about them.
Do you believe it's appropriate to bring race into the classroom in certain circumstances? And if so, what are those?
Well, I believe in teaching objective history. So it's absolutely appropriate to teach the horrors of racism, of slavery, of Jim Crow, of what happened in Oklahoma, and so on. I have no argument with that at all. I encourage it. If I hadn't been a lawyer, I would have been a history teacher, and I want kids to learn as much history as possible. But what's inappropriate is to talk to the kids as though they are racists or as though they are oppressors or as though they have privilege. And so students identify themselves as people of privilege or people without privilege. And the ones with privilege are supposed to feel guilty 24 hours a day. And the ones without privilege think, why should I try? Because the system is against me. Actually, the United States is a land of opportunity. And any individual who works hard, regardless of race, will succeed. And that's what we need to be teaching our kids. In fact, with Hispanic kids, a lot of times their parents immigrated to the United States because this is the land of opportunity. And they expect the schools to teach their kids to achieve and take advantage of the land of opportunity. And unfortunately, in some Tucson schools, that has not been the case.
So just so we can get kind of a feel, Tom Horn, for your gut on what percentage, I've got two questions about percentages. Let's begin going back to the hotline. What percentage do you think have been crank calls so far to the hotline?
Oh, vast majority. We've gotten hundreds of crank calls.
So you'd say, would you go as far like 90% are crank calls?
Yeah, in that range. I can't give a specific percentage, but in that range. But we're ignoring those. We're just paying attention to the legitimate ones. And our adversaries are not going to succeed to get us to unplug the line because we get crank calls. We simply ignore them.
Okay. Also now, about percentage of teachers who your gut feeling is that are doing this critical race theory in Arizona classrooms.
Well, I can't give you a specific percentage, but I can tell you I have a list of 250 Arizona teachers on a public document, so I can share it with anyone who wants me to, of 250 Arizona teachers who signed a statement promoted by the National Teachers Union that said that if the state does anything to interfere in their teaching critical race theory, they will defy the law. That's a pretty extreme step for people who are supposed to be role models that they'll defy the law. And they would not have signed that statement if they weren't teaching critical race theory. The 250 teachers come from 25 school districts, including all of the largest school districts in Arizona. And unfortunately, I must tell you that Tucson Unified had the most of any district.
One more quick question that something caught my ear when you were speaking with Dan. You said, and we know you are an acclaimed trial lawyer, have you put aside your legal practice now? Are you doing this full time, the superintendent of schools?
Yes, you have to be on a statewide office. You really have to be full time. So in December of last year, I went on retirement status with the state bar, and I'm not practicing law. I can't practice law.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, of course I do. I enjoyed it. But you know, the secret to being a good trial lawyer is to be persuasive, and the secret to being a good politician is to be persuasive. So there's quite a bit of commonality between the two roles. Sometimes I counsel, you know, I've mentored young people who come out of law school thinking they need to be tough, that a lawyer has to be tough. And I say, the point is not to be tough, but the point is to be persuasive. And I think the same thing is true in politics. You need to persuade other people of your point of view in a civil way and not to try to roll over them.
All right. Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and myself have a lot more for Tom Horn, Superintendent of Public Instruction in the state of Arizona. I'm going to talk about my favorite bakery now in town. That's Mona's Danish Bakery. And Dan, you know it won't take a lot of persuading to convince the listeners that Mona's is the place to be, not only because of their wonderful home of the Danish Kringle and all the wonderful pastries they have. If you need any convincing, check out the line when the doors open Tuesday through Saturday at 6:30 in the morning, Sunday at 7 o'clock. People are waiting in line to get into Mona's because they want the first choice on the bakery case, out of the bakery case. And if I was in line this morning, I probably would have grabbed one of the almond croissants. That would have been my pleasure. But anyway, monasdanishbakery.com is their website, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. We will take a short break, then more with the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona, Tom Horn. And we are opening now our phone line at 790-2040 for folks who have questions for Superintendent Horn. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Friday Focus interview today, Arizona State School Superintendent Tom Horn. The official title is Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. All right, Dan Scheer is here, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahara Rita Sun. I'm going to throw it back over to Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
An extra $400 or $500 can really make a difference in a classroom, can really enhance education. Are you familiar with the Donors Choose program? Your predecessor, Kathy Hoffman, really pushed that, and it was very valuable to a lot of teachers. How are you getting extra cash into the classrooms? And Donors Choose, for the listeners out there, is basically almost like a GoFundMe. If you have a special project or something you're working on, you can ask the public to help fund it. What are you doing to get some of this money into the classroom?
Well, before I answer your question, I just want to say that the next time I'm in Tucson, I want to go to the restaurants that that you're advertising.
Oh, good,
and
good.
That Bill
Thank
sent
you.
Me.
Yeah.
So tell me the name of the pizza place again, so I'll remember it.
That's Vero Amore Pizza. They have a couple of locations. We love Vero Amore Pizza. I was there for an event last Saturday night. It is just, it's outstanding pizza, Tom Horn.
I got the word Amore. What's the first word?
Vero Amore. V-E-R-O Amore.
Got it.
Okay,
so let's talk about getting money into the classrooms. I'm supporting a bill by Representative Matt Gress to give $10,000 bonus to every teacher in Arizona. He's a Republican legislator. if passed, it would put us in the top 10 of states for starting salaries. And it doesn't involve a tax increase. It would use part of the surplus that we have right now. And to my shock, most of the Democrats in the legislature have opposed it. The leadership of the teachers union has opposed it. I can't believe it. It's almost incredible to me that just because it's proposed by somebody of a different party, they are opposing a $10,000 bonus for every teacher in the state, which is intended to be made permanent. So there would be every year. And, you know, when I was in the legislature, if I thought the Democrats were right, I voted with them. I spoke with them. And I think that currently the legislature is much too polarized, and we need to get the two parties working together again. And certainly when a Republican proposes a $10,000 raise for teachers, the Democrats ought to be supporting it.
Well, that gets more money to the teachers, which is certainly a good idea, but not into the classrooms themselves. What about the Donors Choose program? Are you familiar with it?
You know, you're reminding me to give renewed emphasis to it. Thank you for reminding me of that, and I'll get right to it, to giving it renewed emphasis. The other thing I was going to mention is this. We did a study of what percentage of schools' money goes into the classroom, which would be mainly teacher salaries, and what percentage goes to other things. And we found a one-to-one relationship. The greater percentage of money that went into the classroom, the higher the rate of proficiency, the better the academics. And we've published that study in a press release. and we're going to be issuing a list of districts from the most efficient to the least efficient in terms of getting money into the classroom, and we're going to urge the voters to push their school districts to put more money into the classroom, especially into teacher salaries, and that will improve our academics.
Tom Horn with us, the state school superintendent. Mr. Horn, you announced your number one priority recently, an armed officer at every school. You said we need to have somebody who can shoot back. There are no massacres at police stations because they know they can defend themselves. How is that priority coming along? And is it realistic to have an armed officer at every school in this state?
Well, it's not my number one priority. My number one priority is raising academics, but it's my number one priority in terms of school safety. 3 years ago, the legislature passed a bill appropriating $30 million for school safety. And because it was a compromise bill between the Republicans and the Democrats, schools were given a choice to use it either for an armed officer, which we call a school resource officer, who also teaches, who also befriends the students, so they learn you can trust the police and not have to treat them as your enemies, or they could have a social worker. And I'm all in favor of having social workers in the schools. I think it's important to have somebody that kids can talk to if they have emotional problems. But the first priority is to protect their lives. Last year, the legislature passed a supplemental bill of another $50 million. And so I indicated that, and it's my responsibility to recommend to the state board which grants should be given. And so I announced that my priority would be school resource officers. And then, if possible, counselors also. I hope to have a school resource officer and a counselor in every school. But first priority, school resource officers. The biggest nightmare I have is that some maniac will invade a school and kill 20 kids with nobody there to defend them before I have a chance to get a school resource officer there. And if the school board there or the school has chosen to use money they could have used for a school resource officer and chose a social worker instead and had no defense for the kids and a bunch of kids are killed, imagine how the parents of those kids are going to feel about those decision makers.
Here's Dan Shearer, the Green Valley News.
Aside from banning critical race theory and social emotional learning, what lasting impact do you hope to have on education in Arizona during your term?
The lasting impact that I hope to have is to raise test scores, which means increased learning so kids can compete better in the economy or do better in college. when I was last superintendent, when I left office, we had 60% of our students proficient in math and 70% proficient in reading. Now it's down to 33% in math and 40% in reading. My overriding goal is to get those numbers up, to get the kids to learn more and show it on the test scores. That's what the school should be all about, not the distractions that my predecessor focused on.
But are standardized tests the measure of success then?
Well, I get a lot of questions about that because some people are concerned about teachers teaching to the test. In a reading test, we ask kids to read a passage and answer questions showing that they've understood it. There's no way to teach that to test except to give the kids a lot of reading. In a math test, we ask kids to be able to solve a problem. There's no way to teach to that test except to give them the mathematical principles and give them practice in problem solving. There's nothing wrong with teaching to those ends. If I hadn't been a lawyer, I would have been a history teacher. And so I don't want to give too much emphasis to math and reading. I care about science and history and the arts as well. But the point is that the tests are not testing irrelevant things. They're testing whether a student can read and comprehend what the student is reading and whether they can do math problems.
Let's go
and that
now.
Is absolutely necessary to their success.
Excuse me. Let's go now to our live line. Former Flowing Well Superintendent Dr. Robert Hendricks, who is our monthly contributor on education to this program, has called us on the live line at 790-2040. Dr. Hendricks, go ahead. You're with Tom Horn.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. It's good to hear your voice. I just had a quick question. I know over the periods of your administrations, you've been a strong supporter of standardized assessments. And we're on the same page with that. I think it's good that we are able to track progress and to look at it longitudinally to see how classroom performance progresses from year to year. And I know that you support the idea of that these tests be administered in all public schools, district schools, and charter schools. But my question is, has there been any thought, and I know there's been some pushback to this, of requiring the same test for private schools, excuse me, and homeschoolers?
Well, private schools have never had to do the statewide test. They've always, by and large, they had their own tests that they did, and has not been required of homeschoolers. That would be a question really for the legislature. If they told me to require it, I would. But the legislature believes, I think, that, you know, the overwhelming majority of parents want their kids to go to the local neighborhood school. If the parent chooses to send the student to a private school or to homeschool them, is usually because they think the school will not meet the needs of their child. And so the legislature figured that the parents are the best judge of how well the school, if the school is not doing well for the student, they're not going to keep the student there. But that's really a legislative decision, and I'm willing to enforce it either way.
I mean, my feeling is, Tom, that the, since we're distributing tuition money, supporting those parents who have made another choice, that we need to have some accountability from the state that these institutions are doing a good job. I mean, we hold that standard for every charter school, for every district public school. Why would we not hold that standard for those other two institutions?
And I understand your view completely, and it's certainly a reasonable view. The legislature's choice was that the parents would be the judge, and that if the school wasn't meeting the student's needs, that they wouldn't keep the student there. And I'm an administrator. I'm not a legislator, so I have to follow what the legislature's decided.
All right. Dr. Hendricks.
So I'll end with the last question.
Yeah, real quickly.
How do parents know if there's no standard or benchmark that the state has approved? And I know we've invested a lot of money in a testing process, which truly does measure students' progress. It's a good plan, and I'm glad that we're continuing it. I mean, it's had transitions over the time, but I think we're at a place where this test really does give us a good read on student progress. But how's a parent to know? And is that really totally the parent's choice is funding it?
Okay, Bob, thank you very much for calling. Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Horn.
Yes, well, I have friends who send their kids to private school, and I think they feel they have a good handle on how their kids are doing. Some of them, like Phoenix Country Day School, and trying to think of another school that was in the back of my mind. The kids have done very well. They have a very high percentage going to college and doing very well. I think sometimes people underestimate the extent to which parents really care about their children. When a baby is born, that's the most important thing in the parents' lives. And there was a candidate for governor in Virginia who said parents should not have any influence on what's taught to their kids. And the parents saw to it that candidate had no influence on what was taught to the kids. And I think we have to respect the parents caring about their kids and making good choices for their own children.
All right, here's Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News. Go ahead, Dan.
This is a question from a reader. Do you have concrete evidence that books targeted for removal from schools do harm to students?
I've never advocated removing books from libraries in schools. The only thing I ever did in that regard was there was a novel. A grandmother wrote me about a novel in middle school that had a scene with forced oral sex at a party. And I thought that was not appropriate for middle schoolers. I didn't try to remove them, but I did alert the schools to if they thought there was a problem with it, that they should check their libraries. And I gave them the name of the book. It was a fairly well-known novel. But I've never advocated taking books actually out of the library. I think there's some books that maybe we should require parental consent for.
So you basically want to leave it to the schools to make those decisions, though?
To the schools and the parents. You know, in some cases, if you're talking about sexually explicit books or extreme violent books, you may want to have parental consent before the student can make the choice to take the book out of the library.
All right, Mr. Horn, stay with us, if you will. We're going to take a quick break right here, and then we'll do another segment with you. Take it, and then we will let you go at about 10 minutes before the hour. So we'll need you for another 10 minutes. Is that okay?
I appreciate your giving me the time. It's a big pleasure. Too often.
All right.
Interviews are 3 or 4 minutes, and I
actually,
hate that.
Actually, rather than keep Catherine on hold, Tom Fairbanks, let's go ahead. Put Catherine on with Superintendent Horn, then we will take the break. Go ahead, Catherine.
Actually, it's Kathleen.
Kathleen,
Dr. Horn, I think that social-emotional learning has been much aligned. I'm a retired counselor, and in fact, in 2000, I wrote a curriculum about developing emotional intelligence with supplemental materials for the teachers. But when it comes to helping students learn how to control their emotions, how to deal with peer pressure, how to deal with just, you know, life's everyday things, I think there are certain skills that the counselors may teach, but then the teachers might reinforce. And I know it's been a lot, much maligned, I think, because of CRT and some other things that kind of infiltrated into what was commonly social-emotional learning. Can you comment on that, please?
Yes, I agree with you 100%. I do think it's I have no problem with developing students' emotional control over themselves and that sort of thing. And the first time I was on the wrong side of a 4-to-1 vote on my school board, I served 24 years on a school board. It was because the other 4 wanted to take counselors out of the schools, and I voted against it because I thought it was important that students have somebody to talk to when they had emotional problems. But what I'm against is the turn that social emotional learning took under my predecessor, where teachers were required by their administrators to play games with the kids instead of teaching them academics. I think that's one of the major factors that caused the plunge in our test scores is not spending time on task. You know, there was a professor at a Midwestern university who did a federally funded time on task study and concluded the more time students study things, the more they learn about them. And his mother said to him, "You needed a federally funded study to tell you that." we need to get time on task on our academics. The kind of social emotional learning that I'm opposed to is, first of all, nonsense games instead of focusing on academics. Or secondly, under my predecessor, again, there's a program called CASEL, CASEL, which acts as a kind of a Trojan course for critical race theory. They talk about privilege and oppression and all those kind of things, which is, you know, perfectly okay for history, but not for what we're talking about the kids now.
All right.
And so those are the things I oppose. I don't oppose the kinds of things that you're talking about. Or, you know, one student told me that I asked them, what did they do in school today? And they said they did social emotional learning. I asked them, what were they taught? They said they were taught to be kind to people. I'm all for that.
All right.
Going
to take a quick break. More with Tom Horn, wrapping it up with Mr. Horn after the break. We'll have a couple of more minutes with him. Let's take the break. Buckmaster on a Friday.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview, the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tom Horn, with us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News. Dan, I understand your school district, they are actually recruiting out of the country for teachers.
They have done this, and they are continuing to do it. And Superintendent Horn, this is an unfair question, but what's the answer to filling all these open teaching jobs in Arizona?
Well, the main answer is to increase salaries, which I spoke about earlier, and my shock that Democrats and the teachers union opposed a $10,000 raise for the teachers. And that I totally support Matt Gress's bill. And it's also to be sure that administrators support teachers in discipline. If one student gets away with something, then the others start to get away with it. And pretty soon it's hard to teach. And when teachers leave the profession, they're surveyed, and a number of teachers put as the number one reason, not salaries, that's the number two reason, but number one, failure of the administrators to support them in discipline so they could have orderly classrooms where they could teach. So those are two areas that I think are important. And then with respect to foreign teachers, we're in discussions right now with the administration, with the immigration authorities about trying to get green cards for Canadian teachers because Canada has a surplus of teachers for the jobs available. And I'd love to bring in Canadian teachers who generally speak English. They might speak French as well, but they generally speak English.
Quick follow, Dan.
I want to get onto a little bit of a different topic, artificial intelligence. I know universities are talking about it, having students writing papers using artificial intelligence, and it's very hard to detect that, at least right now. Is this a discussion that you're having on the state level?
Well, we've always tried to work against, copying other people's papers. Students don't learn anything doing that. And there are programs available to help teachers determine whether there's been plagiarism and what's been turned into them, and we continue to support those efforts.
Speaking with Tom Horn, Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. So, What is at the top of your agenda here is now we enter the second quarter of your administration. You mentioned when it came to school safety, putting school resource officers. You want to improve the academic requirements in Arizona. What have we missed in this conversation with you today?
Well, Bill, the overwhelming thing is to increase academics. We've got to get our focus back on academics. That's what the schools are supposed to be for, and I think the previous administration lost sight of that. And I ran, even though my friends told me I was going backwards in life, I ran for this position to get the focus back on academics. That's what I'm pushing at every minute of the day that I can. We have adopted a mission statement with the help of my transition team and myself, and our mission statement says this: the Department of Education is a service organization dedicated to raising student outcomes and empowering parents. And those are the things that we're working on.
One quick follow-up to our conversation about the hotline. You said 90% of the call, at least 90% of the calls are crank calls. How do you kind of vet what is a legitimate call, Tom Horn?
A fifth grader could do it, Bill. It's easy. So we have somebody go through them and eliminate the crank calls, and then we have other people deal with the serious calls.
Okay. Tom Horn, thank you very much. Good reconnecting with you, and let's do this again in a few months.
Bill, I really appreciate that you give me adequate time. So often interviews are sound bites, so I appreciate the opportunity to explain my positions because you give me adequate time. And I'm available anytime you want me, even on short notice.
Thank you very much, Tom Horn, State Schools Superintendent. All right. Our thanks to Dan Scheer. Dan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. It was a good interview.
Thank you very much. And we'll have Dan Gibson with our Weekend Watch right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Away we go. That music is signaling, heralding Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch is presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Looking really good over there. An 80-degree temperature is in the forecast for Silver City. Great time of year to get away. Only about a 3-hour drive. Beautiful area of the Southwest, particularly Southwest New Mexico. My advice, check out Southwest New Mexico, just spelled out, .org. There you will find everything you need to know about your upcoming visit, where to stay, what to do, where to dine, everything in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now the Weekend Watch, one of our Weekend Watch hosts, Mr. Dan Gibson, filling in for the vacationing Matt Russell. Dan, how are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm not doing as well as I think Matt Russell's in Puerto Rico.
No,
maybe? I mean,
No. He is just completing a 10-day, I think it's about 10 days, maybe even close to 2 weeks, sailing adventure in one of my favorite areas, the British Virgin Islands. Kona, he's doing some island hopping, and from the pictures I've seen on Facebook, it looks like they are having a lot of fun.
Well, you know, we'll make do with these exciting adventures in Tucson. We can't all be on a boat right now. But
yep.
if we weren't, if you're trying to make the best of a situation in which you are not on a boat, are you familiar with the Korean pop group New Jeans?
No.
Mr. Buckmaster, you're a fan. I'm pretty sure you're a fan. That's fine. At Ding Tea tomorrow between 2 and 7 p.m., they're having a New Jeans party. New Jeans, really one of the top girl groups in contemporary Korean pop music. They are bunny-themed. Their mascot is a bunny, so it's sort of connected to the whole Easter thing in spring, right? They're going to have an egg hunt. There will be vendors. There will be food from Fat Noodle, the ramen truck, and Herculean Chicken, which I don't see out that much, but is a Taiwanese fried chicken food truck, and spectacular. That's happening at Ding Tea tomorrow, April 8th, 910 West Irvington Road. And I imagine you have time for maybe just one more, right, Bill?
I actually could take two more because we kind of moved things around. We wrapped up a minute or so earlier than I thought with Mr. Horn. So you've got actually about, I'd say, a full minute.
Oh, excellent. Well, I'll make the best of it. Everybody loves Slom Chen. You're probably familiar with them with their fire-breathing, stilt-walking work with the All Souls procession. They have a show both tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. at the MSA Annex. It's $25. It's called Dance Across the Water. It's Slom Chen collaborating with a dance troupe. There will be what are described as global beats, which is pretty intriguing, circus arts, and then late night dance party following the performance. All of that, $25 at MSA Annex. Just go Google Flom Chen, you'll probably find it. If you're looking for something that's free, and who isn't, tomorrow night from 9 p.m. on at the Royal Room, which is at the corner of 6th Street and 6th Avenue, it's the Rollin' with the Homies party.
Oh.
I know, when I think of Bill Buckmaster, I think that is a man who is frequently rolling with his homies.
I think
DJs
so.
Erupt in Mojito. Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Yep.
It's a 90s and 2000s dance party. There will be bar snacks, board games, retro video games, and an excellent drink deal, a Guinness and a shot for $8. Bring your fanciest hammer pants and day glow outfits and be there dancing to all the Mariah Carey songs you can handle.
Hey, I hope you have a great Easter egg hunt, Dan Gibson.
Yeah, me at New Jeans. I'll be there at Ding Tea tomorrow. I'll see you there with the bunny ears on.
Thank you, Dan. Have a wonderful, blessed weekend. Thank you, sir.
You too.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Our original theme music, composed by our friend Chris Stefan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Rose makes sure that all of our shows are up. The podcasts are where they should be. Everybody here at KVOI, including engineer and producer Tom Fairbanks, the entire team at Bustos, the entire expanding team, I should say, at Bustos Media Tucson. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely and blessed Passover and Easter weekend.